Good morning. What a beautiful day today. I know some of us are not too happy that summer is ending. We're well into fall and winter is coming. Some people like the snow, but I know there's folks that do not enjoy the snow or driving in the snow, in the ice, freezing rain. So, if you turn with your Bibles, we're going to start in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. We're going to continue on with that last portion of chapter 3, and we're going to get into chapter 4 a bit. And so, Galatians 3, beginning in verse 26, and I am reading from the King James Version. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say, that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto God, ye did service unto them, which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And so may the Lord bless the reading of his word, and let's just open up in a word of prayer before we begin to delve into our section here. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you now, Lord, and what a joy it is to be here in your presence, Lord, as we're here this morning to remember your Son, to remember his death, his resurrection, his life, to look on his ascension, that Christ right now is seated at your right hand, making intercession for us, Lord. And Father, we're just thankful for this opportunity that we have, that we can come to this place and that we can open your word and be challenged by you to have truth brought to our reminder, or even to have some new truth, some new nugget expounded to us, Lord. So, Father, we just pray that you would speak through me this morning. We pray that you would be honored and glorified, Lord. And we pray the same for the Sunday school and the kids, Lord, that you'll be with them during this time, and the teachers there, that everything that is done today is done for your glory. So, Father, we give you thanks for your Son. We ask for your help. And we ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, if you're looking in this section, and as we just read verses 26 of chapter 3 to verse 16 of chapter 4, you may have noticed that there's a couple sections in there. And so the first part that we're going to look at, if you're writing notes, if you're taking notes down, is from chapter 3, verse 26, and it would end at the end of verse 7. And so we're going to be looking at what Paul is writing here to the Galatians, and it's all about being part of the family of God. It's all about being children, that we're all children due to Christ because of his work for us, and that we've been brought into his family through adoption through Christ. And so this is going to be the first section that we're going to look at, and then the later section will be, how can we challenge ourselves with this? How can we challenge ourselves in our own lives and be an encouragement or a challenger to our brothers and sisters in Christ? And so right off the bat in verse 26, we're jumping into mid-thought, and I thought 2 weeks ago, Fred did a phenomenal job on the first part of chapter 3, just going through with what we have in Christ, that like a key verse from the earlier part would be that verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that we've been made free by Christ, that history would say that the Galatians, they were being challenged with some individuals that had come in, Judaizers, and they were saying, we need to add the law to our faith. But the early part of chapter 3, we would see that the law was really only a schoolmaster. The law, in a sense, was a thermometer that it would show us how much we fall short of God's standard. And so like the schoolmaster, it would show them the law. It would show them basically what they needed to do, but how they would fail in so many aspects of following God. And so the law could never save, but it was all through faith in Christ. And so that we see that right away in verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And I'm reminded of, and Dan even shared that verse from John 1, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And so the key here is that it's all through faith in Christ Jesus, that nothing that we can do on our own can make us a child of God. It's all through Christ. It's all through his work, through him going to the cross, being the sacrifice that we all deserved. The law showed that we needed a Savior. It showed that we fell short, and Christ would be the answer for that. Christ would be the sacrifice. And so as verse 27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so this isn't like baptism being a means of salvation. It's when we're baptized into Christ, the Spirit indwells us. The moment we put our faith and trust in Christ, the Spirit comes within us, comes alive in us, comes to live with us. We're baptized into Christ, and we're putting on Christ in our daily actions, in our daily lives. And so it's been said that to put on Christ is to put on his works, to put on Christ in our lives. Because the early believers, they were first called Christians. We read that in Acts 11, that they were called Christians because they followed Christ. They were called Christ-like. And so that's in a sense of putting on Christ, that we need to be living for him, putting him on in our lives, and making him Lord of all. That when we go out in this world, that is how we are known by. We are known as Christ's followers because he lives in us. We're living that out. And then going on as being part of that family of God, as children of God, we would see that there is no difference between men and women. We're all seen as equals in the sight of God. And we see here Paul writing that because there's a mix of Gentiles and Jews amongst the crowd, and we can even take that the message to the world that there is no difference between Jew, Greek, Gentile. There's no difference between Canadians, Americans, Iranians, Asians. There is no difference between them. And likewise, there is no difference between the bond or the free, which is slaves or servants or free men. Because historically, if we look back in history, it was very, very common, a common practice for families to have maidservants, slaves that would serve the family, that would work with them. But we would see here, again, that through Christ, there's no difference. Christ sees us all, or God sees us all as being part of this family, being children of Him, being children of God. So there's no difference, and it's all because of Christ. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. It's basically the theme of the Bible is, without Christ, we have nothing. Without Christ, we have no hope. There's no peace. And so Christ is the foundation of everything. And that's why we should, as the end of verse 27, is put on Christ. And so we're all one under Christ. We're all one in Christ in the family of God. And we see here in the end of verse 29 that we receive a promise. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And Fred looked at that, our brother Fred looked at that 2 weeks ago as what that promise was, what the seed. God made his promise to the world that he would never, well, first he made a promise to Noah that he would never destroy the earth by a flood. And that even before that, he made a promise to Adam and Eve that, and to the serpent, that the seed of the woman would bruise and destroy the snake. And then we would see later on the promise given to Abraham that he would be a father of many nations, that the seed would come through his heir. And we'll even look further into a bit of Abraham later on in this chapter in the weeks to come. But as being Christ, as we're Christ, we are, in the sense, Abraham's seed, because Christ came from Abraham, and we are of Christ, and we are heirs according to the promise. And you could look at Ephesians as part of a glimpse of what that promise is. And we would see in the first bit of Ephesians 1 that, beginning in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So again, it's just a glimpse of what we have in Christ. We have so many blessings because we're in Christ, that not only do we have salvation, not only is there eternal life, but it's life abundant, as the Lord would say in the Lord's Prayer there in John 17, that eternal life is to know him, to have life abundantly. And we have so much in Christ because of what he's done for us. And so continuing on with this theme of who we are as children of God, who we are as in the adoption of his sons, we continue on there in chapter 4. And Paul would tell them, and Paul would write, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And so there's a picture here of a family. They have an heir, their son or their child. But in a glimpse, even though that child is Lord of all, that he's going to inherit from his family, before he comes to a certain age, he is the same as a servant, in that he still, as verse 2 would say, he's under tutors. He's under guidance. He's under governors. He's under rule and authority, under the family, under the patriarchy. But the difference, though, like that child will one day be the heir. He will one day inherit everything that is in line with him. And this thought line, as Paul is speaking to them, as Paul is writing to them, to the Jews and the Gentiles in his audience, the group that he's writing this letter to, like, that was a very common, that would have been known to them about how, as a family, like, with children and having slaves, that the children of slaves, that in a sense, they're equals, but their child is going to be the heir to their inheritance. And so it was very common to them. They would have had a very good understanding of that. And it's interesting that as we see Paul in a lot of his letters, he uses what they know of life, what they know of society and culture. He uses that to bring forth the truth of Christ to them, to bring forth the truths of the gospel. And so he's expounding on how there's no difference here. And I was reading in a commentary, and it's a beautifully written by William MacDonald here, that verses 1 to 3 here, it's a beautiful picture of a wealthy father who intends to turn over control of his wealth to the son when he reaches maturity. However, as long as he is still a child, the heir's status is like that of a slave. He is continually told to do this and not to do that. He has stewards who manage his property and guardians in charge of his person. Thus, although the inheritance is surely his, he does not enter it until he has grown up. And I even see examples of this in some movies in Hollywood nowadays, that you see a horrible crime committed to a father and a mother, and whether it's in front of their children or child, they're owners of a enterprise, a massive company, but they're either killed or they're not in the picture anymore, and the child is going to be the one who inherits the company, inherits the throne, per se. And a picture of that is in the story of Bruce Wayne, how as a kid, his parents were murdered, but then he doesn't take over the company until he comes of age. He doesn't take over the company as a 7-year-old, 8-year-old boy. It's only until he's grown up and has matured enough to be able to run the company, to run the enterprise. So we see this picture here. And so, verse 3, even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And here, Paul, before, he's kind of looking back at a time before they were Christ, before they were in the family of God, that they were in bondage under the elements of the world. And it could be with the context and the folks that he's reaching out to here. It could be that he's really referring to the law, in the sense he's speaking to some of the Jewish folks there in Galatia, but also with the Gentiles, because we would know that before they would turn to Christ, and we see it later on in verse 8 and 9, that they were pagan worshipers. They were worshiping false gods. They had certain rules that they needed to do. And so, as Paul is writing here, even so, when we were children, having rules to follow, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. It was a bondage. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to the law. And it's a picture in our own lives, in that before we come to Christ, that is, as we sang in the one song there, that Christ will set us free. What are we free from? And so Paul is explaining here, like, that they were in bondage. That's what we're free from in Christ. We don't have to go to that. And then we would see in verse 4, that there's a divine, that Paul, as he's going through kind of history of being caught up in the law, and he's been explaining how the law doesn't save. The law shows us how wrong we are. But then when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. So he speaks of the time when Christ would come into this world. And again, as has been made mention even this morning and in previous times, and even the thought of why we're here, Christ is the foundation. Christ is the most pivotal point in history that has ever happened. And so when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. His son was given. And we would read in Isaiah that, and speaking of the birth of the Lord, that a child is born, a son is given. God gave his son for us, that he would be made of a woman, born of a woman, born under the law, in the sense that he was born into the Jewish family, the Jewish, we call it Jewish religion. He was born into that, but he was so much more than that, because he was the Son of God, and he came to redeem them that were under the law. He would come to free us. He would come to free these Galatians that, as they're being in bondage to their pagan worship, their false god worship, and even the Jews being bound by the law, Christ would come to make them free. We read that early in verse 13, and with Fred talking about it 2 weeks ago. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and he has also redeemed us from under the law. We're no longer bound by it. The law, yes, it's good in that it shows us our shortcomings, but the law will never save. It's only through Christ. It's only through the one that God sent that we can be redeemed. And then we have this beautiful picture that we might receive the adoption of sons. That it's not so much in the sense in today's society of how a family, when they adopt a child, they go in an orphanage or to an organization and they bring that child into their own family. What's speaking of here is an adoption of sons, as we're born again into Christ, as we put our faith in him and brought into the family of God, we are placed in sonship. We are placed like as an adult son in the family of God, ready to be with him forever, to inherit the blessings that we have, to come into that. And so we're born, we come in as a child, but we're placed as an adult son in his family. And then he seals us with this by sending his spirit that we see in verse 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And we see a beautiful picture here that we see the Trinity. We see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see God sending forth the spirit of the Son into our hearts. The moment we put our faith in Christ, our faith and trust in Christ, the Spirit comes within us and cries out, Abba, Father, saying, Lord, lead me. And then we, in response, we can cry out, Abba, Father, as the Spirit is convicting us, the Spirit is living within us. We then can cry out, Abba, Father. And Abba is more of a intimate term of the Father. It's like Papa or Poppy or Daddy. That the Spirit comes within us and he cries out, Abba, Father, which in turns we cry out, Daddy, Daddy, Father, be in us, be with me. And it's a beautiful picture that it results in us being no more a servant, being no more a slave to the law, a slave to sin, but a son. that we are an heir of God through Christ. We come into this family, God brings us in through Christ, and that we can inherit the blessings that God has promised to us, that we can have life abundantly, that we can be with him forever, because that's what his purpose was. When he created man, he wanted to have a relationship with mankind. Sin destroyed that. Sin separated mankind from God. And so the law was given as a schoolmaster. The law was given to show them that they couldn't do it on their own, that perfection could not be attained. But when the fullness of time was come, God would send his son to be our sacrifice, to redeem us, to bring us back into that relationship with God. And so, to sum up the first part, you can sum it up in that verse 7, that a believer is no longer a slave or a servant, but a child of God. And that's a beautiful, beautiful picture, beautiful truth that we can now obtain to, that we can hold on to, that we are a child of God. And so moving to the next portion here of chapter 4, 8 to 16, we would see here a challenge, that a challenge of not falling back to being under the law, a challenge not backsliding, a challenge to avoid false teachers. As Paul would write, "How be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods." Basically, Paul's saying, like, before you came to Christ, before you came to know God, you were following things that are not gods, idols, things made with hands that can never satisfy. And then, "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" And so this again goes back to how Paul was writing to them about the law, that the law couldn't save. We're free from the law. We're not bound by that. They had once been worshiping false gods, pagan idols. They were once following things that were not going to lead them into eternity, into having salvation. And then now they're having this desire now to follow a law that, as Paul would explain in chapter, like as he had just explained to them, like the law can't save you. You can't do anything under the law. The law will never make you right. And you're desiring again into another form of servanthood, slavery, bondage, to something that you came from, something that couldn't save, that couldn't help you. And now you're turning to almost something that's similar, and it still isn't going to help you. It still isn't going to save you. So why are you desiring this again? And so then he continues on, because in the context, it's the Judaizers, the Jews that are saying, hey, it's faith plus law, it's faith plus circumcision, it's faith plus baptism. And in today's age, it could be faith plus whatever a preacher says to do. And we see it a lot in the health and wealth prosperity gospel, that it's faith plus works, and if you don't have enough faith, you're going to be poor. And it's so far from the truth, that it's through Christ that we can be made set free. And so verse 10, like Paul goes on, like that you observe the days and months and times and years, like you're following the law, you're going back to following a law, following, observing feasts, observing things that the Jews used to do, that even when they were following it, most of them weren't even following it completely. And yet you're gonna live towards that. And then we see the heart of Paul, and he goes on saying, "I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Paul's worried for them. He wants them. We see Paul's love that he doesn't want to see his fellow brothers and sisters fallen away from God to follow after, going back to whether it was pagan idols or following under a law that couldn't save, that couldn't help them out. And he reaches them. He's like, brothers and sisters, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. For I am as you once were. Paul, in Acts, in his conversion story, in his testimony, Paul, and as we know through history, like Paul and Saul, like he was one of the top rabbis, one of the ones who was really following the law and persecuting those who would follow Christ. And he would say, I was once there. Don't desire to go that way. Don't desire to be who I once was. Be as I am now. And we would see, and even as Paul would write his letter to the Corinthians, that he would challenge them to be imitators of him as he was of Christ. And so Paul's love for them, he wants them to not fall astray. He wants them to come back to the blessedness that they once had. And that he recounts when he first preached to them, when he first came to them, how through an infirmity, it's not known as to what infirmity, what sickness he had. Some believe it was malaria. Some believe it was some other illness. Some even believe it was something to do with his eyes. But back then in culture, back then too, like a lot of those infirmities, if he had malaria or if you were a leper, especially, society looked down on you. And so he recounts how even as he was one that society would have looked down upon, they received him. They received the gospel. They received the truth. And we would see in the end of verse 14, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. And then he's like, then where is then the blessedness you spake of? Where's the joy? Where's the gladness you had when I first came to you? Get back to that. And so Paul's challenging them that as being in the family of God, being children, being sons of God, daughters of God, to be living for him, to be living with that hope that we have an inheritance with him, but to not throw it away, to not leave it aside, to follow after things that won't help us, things that will only cause us to fall away. And so he ends with, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? This can be a challenge that as we go on living lives, as we go on being a part of the family of God, it can be a challenge that when we see a brother, when we see a sister struggling, when we see one whether it's just struggling in life or things with the families or personal or work, that we can come to them and we can encourage them. We would see through 12 to 16 there, Paul's love for them, Paul's love for his brothers and sisters, to come back to not being bound by a law, false idols, or anything. But his love for them was so great. And so in closing, if there's one or two things that can stand out that you can take home, it's that the believer, as a believer in Christ, we are no longer a slave or a servant or a bondchild, but we are a child of God. We are a son or daughter, an heir through Christ. And then, are we in danger, like the Galatians faced, of abandoning our freedom in Christ for a burdensome system of legalism, of law following, of, you can put whatever word in there that you desire, and self-effort promoted by legalists and false teachers? Are we in danger of going astray? Are we in danger of seeing our loved ones follow suit. May we strive to be a child of God. May we strive to be living as a free person, as a free man, under Christ, not bound by anything. And may we help those who we love that may be struggling, that may be wandering astray. May we be the one that God will use to bring them back. And so, when Christ frees us to be heirs, we're no longer bound by the law, we're no longer slaves to sin. We are one in Christ, in his family. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this day that you've given to us, Lord, and we're so grateful that we have your written word in our language, that we can understand it, Lord. And Father, we're so grateful that you've given us your Spirit to help us understand what it is that you're trying to tell us, that you're trying to teach us. And so, Father, as we go about here, as we go on to the next portion of the meeting to remember you, you're the reason we're here, Lord. Without you, we have nothing. With you, we have everything. And so, Father, we just pray that we can hold on to that, that we can hold on to the hope that we have in you, that it's not Christ plus this or that. We can be satisfied solely with you. As I'm reminded of when Martin Luther would mount his thesis on the door of the church, Lord, it's in Christ alone. It's all in Christ. It's him alone, faith alone, the Bible alone. We're here because of you. So, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you had a challenge for each and every one of us. And, Father, as we head into our remembrance time, help us to focus on you. Help us to focus on the cross, your life, your resurrection, Lord. Because without you, again, we have no hope. So, Father, we give you thanks for this time, and we ask for your blessing. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.